Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Christian friends, I bring you greetings from the saints in Nebraska, where I live. Nebraska, America's heartland. Nebraska, we have Warren Buffett. Nebraska, we've got football, number 15, by the way. Nebraska, we've got corn, and we've got more corn, and we have even yet more corn. And along with the corn, you have farmers to take care of the corn. We also have one other unique thing I have not seen any place else, and it's a linguistic tool. A linguistic tool that talks about possible future actions. Farmers get together in the morning having their coffee at the convenience store in rural areas, and they'll sit and talk in their Carhartt jackets, their bib overalls, next to their Chevy and Ford trucks. But I can guarantee you, you would never hear the following statements. You know, Jim, I'm thinking about buying a combine. Now, for those of you who aren't rural, and I understand, I'll speak slower. A combine costs about $325,000, and that's for the entry level. A fellow would never say, I'm thinking about buying a combine. Instead, you would hear, a fella could buy a combine. This ethereal fella is used all the time. I would not say I would do that, but a fella could, in which case I can then watch your reaction. And if it seems to be a possibly good course of action, I might think about it some more. But if it's not a good course of action, no harm, no foul, because I didn't think of it. A fella did, not me. As long as I am removed from the consequence or the directness of a question, I'm okay. And it seems that there was a fellow in our text who could have been from Nebraska. The questioner goes to our Lord, will a few be saved? In Nebraska speak, will a fella be saved? And our Lord dispenses with a fella and goes straight to the questioner. Enter, strive through the narrow door. Now that is a direct contradiction to our civic righteousness, where in our country, as long as one is an American, as long as one dispenses an occasional gratuity to the big guy in the sky, you're covered. It's a direct contradiction to any other of a multitude of faiths, which, though cherished by our country as a hallmark of religious freedom, they still lead to eternal death, eternal destruction. We know there is one God, and we know there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. He is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. And we know him. The unspoken question that still haunts us through this text, however, we know Jesus, but will I be saved? Do I make it through the door? Of course, I'm Lutheran. Of course, I'm at the seminary. And is there any place closer to heaven than Fort Wayne, Indiana? I'm a member of Thrivent, and I even use my matching gift funds. Will I walk through the narrow door? The answer is a resounding no. Now, the answer was a resounding no to the Pharisees, and that's easily understood. They didn't really get Jesus. They looked to their own righteousness, and as Peter proclaimed in Acts, their hands were drenched with the blood of our Lord. And their hands, covered in blood, were the only hope for their salvation. Yet they rushed to wash away every scintilla of God's ultimate atoning sacrifice. The answer to the Pharisees is a resounding no. But you and I, we aren't Pharisees. We have no phylacteries. We step forward, ready to enter the door, and there is a resounding no. We get the same answer as do the Pharisees. No, I do not know where you come from. How can this be? Well, the scriptures speak clearly to us. I know that, and so do you. But I must admit that there are times when it seems to me that the scriptures screech to a halt. And out of all the people in the entire world who are reading, who are listening, they choose me as the recipient of the message. In films and on stage, there is this technique called breaking the wall. That is when on the screen, characters are talking one to another. And then they'll stop, and they'll look at you and address you, breaking the fourth wall. Ferris Bueller, you know the movie. He talked to his friends, but he would stop, and he'd look directly at you. Go on, the movie's over. You can go now. At this moment, it seems the Holy Spirit breaks the fourth wall to engage us, to engage me. The answer, enter through the narrow door. I do not know you. And in my heart of hearts, I cry out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Don't let me be on the wrong side of the door. I want to live. Yet in order to live, you have to die. The narrow door that leads to the Feast of the Lamb turns things upside down. And the Paschal Lamb who readies the table recreates the world by reversal. The last will be first, the first will be last. In order to live, one must die. We are followers of our Lord, are we not? We strive to follow him, and in order to take our place in his footsteps, we are offered death. His death on the cross purchased the life of the world. And in order to place that gift in your hands, baptismal waters still your very heart. And not the songs that speak about be still, no. The baptismal waters drown and kill the old Adam. There is no bargaining, no offers for amendment of life, no second chances. There is but death. No heartbeats, no chest movement. And that death not by our own hand, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, who brings the full crushing weight of the word into your heart and into your soul. You are not good enough. You are not good enough. You and I must die as did our Lord. But we know who's in charge of resurrections, and hearts are quickened by the blood of the Lamb, who has broken the bonds of death. And breath returns to those who were lifeless, given that life by the Holy Spirit, given that life as blood-bought, quickened children of God. And we don't walk through the door. Instead, we are carried by our good shepherd. And the scriptures screech to a halt once more and look directly at me and look directly at you. And with the full crushing weight again, it envelops me with a crystal clear message. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Not only me, the work of God is for you and for the world. And you and I are joined by the throng of those who cannot be numbered, the children of God from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And you, many of you, will be called to share in that task. The noble task, to give forth that which you have received, and souls will be entrusted to your care. And with all the love that you can muster, you are charged to lead them to death, the death of their Lord. And you are charged to lead them there so they might live in his resurrection. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen.